This episode of Here Be Monsters needs a disclaimer, and that's because it's full of bad language and bigoted ideas and factual errors. Mostly it's just a bunch of white people talking about religion and race, and over the course of the next half hour or so, nearly every person you hear will put their foot in their mouth at some point. That being said, it's a great show, it's a complicated show, and there's no one else that I would have rather worked on it with. So here's producer Emil B. Klein.
When I was 13, I was walking home at night when a guy put his arm around me. He said, "This is what we call a stick up." And then he and six or seven other guys kicked my ass and took whatever shit I had. And I'd love to say it doesn't matter what they looked like, but the fact is I was a little white kid and all of these guys were black. And so as a kid and for the next 16 years of my life, I've worked to curb the desire to form a racial prejudice. There's a map called the Hate Map of America. The Hate Map of America works kind of like Yelp or Google Maps, except instead of showing laundromats and coffee shops, it shows hate groups. They're little icons for everybody, so KKK chapters show up as little white triangles, and black supremacist groups show up as five-pointed stars. KKK, neo-Nazi, black separatists, anti-LGBT, Minutemen. And I used to look at that map and I would say, I have fought against this feeling within myself. It was a way of reaffirming that I was an okay person. But one day I realized I have no idea what's on the other side of that map. At the time I was in Pennsylvania, and when I zoomed in on where I was, I saw this little white circle, and next to the circle it said Reformation Bible Puritan Baptist Church, General Hate.
David himself saith in the book of Psalms, "The Lord, Jehovah, saith unto my Lord, Adonai, sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Does that sound like the Jesus Christ full of love and forgiveness? I'm not saying that he was not loving, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved the truth, because he was the truth, and he did not care who he offended. He was bold. He was a man. He was someone that a man could look up to, admire, and respect. He was no wimp, no long-haired gimp with a goatee walking around like he couldn't finish concrete or do something hard.
This episode of Here Be Monsters is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and for 10% off, visit squarespace.com and use our offer code MONSTERS at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
the absurd height of fanaticism.
The podcast about
the unknown. Known.
So I sent over an email to the church, and within an hour, I had already gotten a call back. The guy I spoke with was the leader of the church. His name is Eric John Phelps. He invited me out to the church the next night. And as I drove there, I was thinking, okay, this place is going to be a fortress. You know, this is going to be like some gated compound. But when I got to the location on the map, it didn't look different from anything else in the neighborhood. And the guy came out. He was wearing a collarless shirt. He looked fairly normal. In fact, Eric John Phelps, he kind of just looked like milquetoast.
What did I have? I had a special drink. My special drink of raw eggs and juice and a special green powder and a protein powder and turmeric. And
when we went inside, Eric offered me some organic steak and some cranberry juice. And I was like, wait, what?
So if you could introduce yourself and say what you do.
My name is Eric John Phelps. I am an author, researcher, preacher, jack of all trades and master of none. How about that? I work in alternative health things, specialize in ozone, hyperbaric chambers, infrared, frequency therapies, North Pole magnetism for your health, nutrients, parasite cleanses, and that to bring people back into balance, and recommend a wholesome diet to stay away from the food chain that we have in this country, which is toxic.
So that's not what I know you for.
No, you know me from being on the radio.
And I started thinking, maybe the hate map got this guy all wrong. Maybe he's totally okay.
I was poisoned. I was poisoned in Pasadena about 12 years ago, almost died. We went out to eat one night, and after we ate, I had a steak, and after we ate, and he had pretty much the same thing that I had, I started to get sick, upset stomach. And I was so sick that I broke out in a cold sweat. I knew I was poisoned. And the Jesuits have such special poison. See, they have poisons that give rapid heartbeat, or they have poisons that give aneurysms, or they have poisons that give you a heart attack.
And how large is their authority?
Practically speaking? Well, they run everything. They run the government, they run the banks, they run academia, they run the military, they run all the politics, they run both political parties, they run the Federal Reserve Bank, they run it all. There isn't anything they don't run. And they've always persecuted people like myself who believe the Bible, who preach the true gospel. They consider us heretics, that we're worthy of death.
Well, my name is Nicholas Arthur. I'm the founder of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I've been in radio starting with FM.
In 2008, Eric was approached by this guy, Nicholas Arthur. Nicholas asked Eric if he'd like to have a show on his internet radio station, First Amendment Rights Media Group.
We're a very small niche in the big world, you know, like we're almost nothing.
The group's a collection of like-minded, conservative-leaning Christian radio hosts.
I invited him on and gave him a broadcast. He's very knowledgeable. He has more study and information at his fingertips. On the topic of the Vatican, the Reformation, than just about probably just about anybody I know, and I liked what he had to say, but then it quickly became about separatism and white supremacy and things like that.
Whites and blacks and Asians, whatever, we all have the same spirits. We all have the same need for salvation. So as far as our status in Christ, once we're saved, of course we're all equal. There's no difference in our spiritual status in Christ. But the whites create the highest cultures, then the Asians or the Orientals, they create the little lower cultures, and the blacks have the lowest cultures. And you can see this demonstrated in any museum you go into.
So do you feel like we're persecuted?
Of course, don't you? Don't you feel like you're persecuted? You've never been discriminated against because you're white? What I'm saying is all this nation mixing and race mixing is bringing unhappiness, discontent, and it's a forerunner to war. Race mixing produces race war. And that's what we're getting here in America. We will have a huge race war in this country because of forced miscegenation, forced race mixing. If the populations were separate, you could never have a race war. But the Jesuits want a race war so they can finally destroy the last vestige of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Reformation Western civilization.
Well, my white men who speak English, white men who are historically Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Slavic, Protestants, and Baptists, Those of us who speak English, those of us seeking to establish a new nation somewhere here in North America, cutting away the umbilical cord of Rome as it controls our states through the Washington, D.C. Well, my brethren, the purpose for this broadcast is to make every one of you versed in the scriptures, every one of you versed in true history, every one of you versed and acquainted with walking in the Spirit, so that the devil can't kill us all. The South was full of preachers at one time. Now it's full of the devil's Freemasonry.
We treated him as the Bible says we're supposed to treat a brother in Christ, and we brought our issues to him and dealt with it, you know, in an open forum. And thus, I gave him the ultimatum, and we had the roundtable discussion. You know, because that was an either make it or break it thing for us to, you know, if he was going to remain on the network or not.
Well, good day, everyone, everywhere. That's an unusual opening for having a special program today. Eric John Phelps, he is here with us today, and I thought I would have him on, and I also have on the line with me Greg Szymanski and Tom Fress. We have a hard enough time being accepted even in the alternative media because of our stand against the Vatican and against Catholicism. We are already labeled by those who control the alternative media and the mainstream media as propagating hate speech because of that stand. But I cannot take the stand for white supremacy. So I want to go to my fellows here at the round table. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
I guess I'm going to just start with Greg.
Yeah, if I could say something, Nicholas. First of all, I'm really disappointed that it's come to this, and for reasons that I know Eric is smarter than this. Right. And it really confused the simple issue in my mind is that we're all created equal. The way you say it sometimes, Eric, it is dividing us. Can't you see that?
Okay.
I love you, brother. You cannot question that. But I've had people run from me because I'm associated with Eric John Phelps, this white supremacist. And it affects the bottom line to the point where how much can we shoulder? When will reason take over?
What I need to understand is why. Why it has to be a focal point to the to almost the absurd height of fanaticism.
Okay. First Amendment radio station is a place where there will be ideas interjected in the culture that people might reconsider and then maybe go on another track of life. If we're afraid to go into other areas for fear of rejection, then nothing will ever change, possibly for the better in that area. There was something in the white race where he chose their abilities for advancement, their determination. Because
okay, see, now you're saying there was something in the white race, and so now you're attributing something to the white race that God just had to use. And we need to separate this issue because it is detrimental to the work that we're trying to do. Jesuits are very happy that you have chosen to fly the banner of white supremacism, and you've walked right into their trap. Okay, we'll be back after some messages.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back. We're having a round table today. Myself, Eric John Phelps, Tom Fress, and Greg Szymanski are with me. And, you know, I'd like to give these other men a chance to jump in here. Tom?
I'm sorry, Eric. Listen, you know I'm one of your most careful listeners, and I've called you, and we've talked about these issues over the phone. I carefully listen to you, and I try not to be prejudiced with the cultural definition of white supremacy, and I try to hear your message the way you give it. and look at what you say without all the subjective feelings that instantly come to the surface when one hears the term white supremacy. So I've been about as patient and studious as I could possibly be, time permitting. But let's face it, Eric. The general population, the general numbers of listeners may not be as careful in the way they listen. They may not be as patient. And they're instantly outraged with this white supremacist terminology. And they turn off the entire network. And I think what Nicholas is trying to say, this is about survival. Look, it seems to me that throwing this racial issue is it on top of everything that's on our plate now is like trying to climb Mount Everest with an aircraft carrier on our backs. And it's look, I've lost a lot of friends because I've been associated with you.
I don't want Eric John Phelps to leave First Amendment Rights Media.
I don't either.
That's not my desire. We don't want you to go, but the focus has to change. On this broadcast, on this network, the focus cannot be on race and on supremacy of the race or culture.
Am I still able to advocate separation of the races?
If you want to spend like one day a month or something on it, that's fine, you know, and try to advocate it for more from a scriptural point of view rather than a race-based point of view.
Okay.
My prayers remain with you, Eric. May the Lord bless your broadcast. You bless my heart like I can't tell you, Brother Eric. And I'm looking forward to the changes that the Lord will make in your broadcast, if you permit him.
Amen.
So we tell all the Jesuits and our enemy to stick it in their eye. We got a lot of work to do. Thank you all, gentlemen.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you.
I'd be really interested in hearing any, you know, personal stories, like positive stories you have about your relationship with Eric.
Yeah, you know, I really couldn't say anything about that. I really don't even have an answer for that, to tell you the truth. Personally, I really don't have an answer for that. Do I think it made a positive impact on First Amendment Radio? I'm not sure about that. There are listeners out there that I don't know that appreciate things that I don't appreciate, you know. So, I mean, it's not just all about me. So, what can I say?
To tell the truth, I was pretty shocked when I found out that Nicholas didn't have anything good to say about Eric. I was starting to get this feeling that Eric was alone. After hearing Eric talk, I knew that what I needed to do now was confront the place where I had found Eric's name. I needed to find out how Eric got on the hate map of America in the first place. So I contacted the people who invented the hate map. It's called the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I ended up getting to speak with Mark Potuck, who's one of their senior fellows.
You know, the hate map to us is a tool that we use to let people know that there are quite a lot of these groups out there, even if most of them are quite small, and generally to raise awareness about some of the problems and struggles that our society is facing. My name is Mark Potuck. I'm a senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a civil rights organization. It was formed in Montgomery, Alabama in 1971, essentially to continue the work of the civil rights movement. It's probably best known for its monitoring of extremist groups on the right. But let me just say, you know, these people live in a world of very elaborate, complicated ideological constructions. They're like Rube Goldberg machines. You know, they start with one fact, or maybe it's not even a fact, but one allegation, and they then proceed to construct an incredibly elaborate conspiracy theory. You look at this man, and, you know, he's basically talking about the entire stretch of history, certainly going back to Christ and before, and, you know, sees this extremely elaborate conspiracy involving Freemasons and all kinds of other groups and the Jesuits. But, you know, I have no doubt that he imagines he's got all the answers. You know, the problem with these people is that they never check even their most basic facts against what is really known out there. You know, so it's akin to Holocaust denial. These people sort of gather stray facts or pseudo facts that seem to fit into their overall construct. You know, they don't want to accept the world as it is, which is a rather chaotic place with all kinds of things that happen simply by coincidence or happenstance. Conspiracy theorist is somebody who thinks in black and white terms. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason.
I've been beat up by the savages, not by the civil blacks, but by the majority savage blacks. I was jumped in Oakland Coliseum when I went to see a basketball game. I wanted to see a particular black basketball player. His name was Burke. He was 5'8", and he could dunk. So my friend and I, my white friend and I, we went to that basketball game just to see Burke, a black guy. And we got attacked by these savage blacks after the game, so I had to fight. So I didn't ask for it. You know why I got it? Because I was white. I was a victim of black-on-white racism. I grew up during the Civil Rights era.
I was wondering, what was your relationship with race relations growing up in Oakland?
Black Panthers coming to Oakland, that's right.
So tell me about that.
Okay, well, I didn't grow up in Oakland. I was born there, but I grew up in a little town called Terra Hills, a little Irish Catholic development there. My father was a chief of police in Richmond, which is approximately then about 75% black. He always tried to be fair to them. My father told me, he said sometimes he'd pull these blacks over for speeding or whatever. He says, okay, well, I'm going to let you go because you're black. And I want you to tell all your friends that this white cop here isn't out to persecute you. So my father was very fair to them. However, we're not having any blacks in the family. And I had a black girlfriend in high school when I was 18. She was a lovely, very nice person. Mm-hmm. So I had to come to the realization that, you know, even though she was a very dear person, that race mixing into marriage and families was wrong. Her parents were against it, and so were mine. See, I was the kind of guy that I didn't care about what anybody thought of me. I still don't, really. It gives me a freedom that most people don't have. But
Was it the race issue that broke up that relationship?
Oh, of course. Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at the complex factors that create real life, you create an evil being, a malefactor who is behind it all. You know, it also excuses you from any responsibility. You know, your boyfriend or your girlfriend left you. Your kid's business failed. You know, none of those things have anything to do with you, right? It's not your fault. It's the fault of the conspiracy.
Part of communism is race mixing, miscegenation. That's a communist tenet. We will have a huge race war in this country because of forced miscegenation, forced race mixing. If the populations were separate, you could never have a race war. And I told my sons, if they draft you, you're not going. I didn't raise you. I didn't float and finish concrete for 15 years on hands and knees, working in basements till late at night to get paid to pay your support because her mother divorced me. She divorced me. She kicked me out of the house. She got the locks changed because, you see, in this country, woman is supreme. How would you feel if you had your children taken away from you when they're 5 and 2 years of age? When somebody steals your children, you throw your convictions to the wind sometimes. Telling you, it broke my heart, and it breaks the hearts of millions of white men when their wives divorce them and take their children from them when they have no business doing that.
I feel a little sorry for some of these people, but you know, the feeling sorry starts to get a little thin when they're spending their time telling you that, you know, black people are evil, or the Jews have plans to murder you and your children, or Muslims have a secret plan to destroy the United States.
So the Jews are the most brilliant people.
Around the time that Eric started telling me about how great the Jewish mind was, my recorder died.
Why they invented the Apple iPhone. Yeah. It's called the brilliant Jewish mind. Wherever they're left free to invent, they invent the greatest things, without question.
Everybody I spoke with, everybody I tried to contact, wanted to have nothing to do with Eric John Phelps. And that, I couldn't take it. I mean, he's gonna be alone. I mean, nobody deserves to be alone in that way. Separatist or not. So I called up Eric. But he wouldn't pick up. And I'd send emails and he wouldn't respond. And I don't believe his ideas. But I hope that he's not lonely.
Eric speaking.
This episode is dedicated to Roy Silberstein, who always fought for the underdog. Emil B. Klein produced this piece, along with me, Jeff Emmon. Emil is a radio producer and a painter who's been touring around the country by bike for the last 4 years. He's the director of Your US, which is a nonprofit that highlights the qualities that tie together modern Americans through arts and craftsmanship. And get this, Emil and I have been secretly working together on 6 audio portraits of 6 very different Americans. I can tell you a couple things. The pieces are unusual, they're evocative, and each piece has its own original musical score. But I can't tell you any more than that until mid-November. So if you want to be in the know, and believe me you do, hit up Your US on Twitter for updates. That's Y-O-U-R-E, US. Also, I just want to be honest here. Emil and I really struggled with the conclusion of this piece. We wrote and we rewrote this script so many times, and we had so many discussions without any conclusions about whether it's appropriate to feel compassion towards Eric Phelps. Should we take a free pass on hatred, if it's hatred towards a bigot? Should we truly have compassion for everyone, or only people who play by the rules of mainstream society? Emil and I both understand that we might be totally wrong about all of this. So if you have thoughts on this episode, please send us your comment. We're at hbmpodcast.com. To make this episode, we had to edit down over 9 hours of raw tape, and we couldn't have done this without our wonderful producer in training, Grant Sprintz. Lots of the stuff that wound up on the digital cutting room floor is actually some really great audio, like the full unedited version of the Intervention Roundtable. So if you want to hear that, head over to our website. There you'll also find a brand new slideshow that features the really hideous web design that is emblematic of the conspiracy theory websites that we had to look at for researching this show. Also, Emil was able to track down Eric's old high school yearbook photo, and believe me, you want to see that. That's all at hbmpodcast.com. Music on today's show came from The Black Spot, Olecranon Rebellion, Cirocell, Lucky Dragons, and an artist who's brand new to this show, a Brooklyn-based electronic producer named Cloaking. And last but not least, our story editor is Bethany Denton. This episode marks the end of our 3rd season of Here Be Monsters, but that's not to say that you won't be hearing from us in the meantime. It's been about 2.5 years since Here Be Monsters started as a documentary sound experiment. Something about this exploration of fear and the unknown has really resonated with a lot of people, and we think that this idea is ready for prime time. And so now here's the big news. In the coming months, we're going to be pitching Here Be Monsters out to see if there's a good place for it on public radio, or if there's a good fit at a podcast network, or if the best home is where we already live, which is as a truly independent podcast. But if you want to keep the podcast growing, please write an email to your favorite podcast network or radio station and tell them exactly why you love this show. It means so much coming from you as a listener, and it really helps. Okay, spoiler alert. There's something really great hidden at the end of this episode. And while you ponder what that might be, I'm going to tell you three more things, just really quick. Okay, first, I want you to know that there's a donate button on the bottom of our page, hbmpodcast.com. If you feel so inclined, you can donate a couple bucks to us, and at some point we'll probably do like a full-on fundraiser, a really good one. But in the meantime, your donation helps us to pay the producers and musicians who help make this show possible by essentially donating their time and their artwork. So that donate button's at the bottom of every page on hbmpodcast.com. Second, please review the show on iTunes. Right now, HBM floats around the number 3 spot on the philosophy section, and with your help, we can definitely push that up to number 1. So please, share your kind words with the iTunes community. Okay, last thing. After 2 years in waiting, $300 in fees, and one really heartfelt legal appeal, Here Be Monsters received its United States trademark. And so if you want to see me posing with the official Kinko's Quality certificate they mailed, and maybe doing a silly dance, you're going to have to like us on Facebook, where you can get updates about the show, see pictures, and read about topics that didn't quite make it into the full-fledged episodes. So just do a search for Here Be Monsters on Facebook, and look for our rainbow-colored logo.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier today by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Okay, more episodes soon. Thanks so much for listening.